You're listening to Words of Encouragement, the preaching ministry from the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Winnsboro, Louisiana. Today, peace. Peace. Today, on Words of Encouragement.
As we continue moving through this time of Advent, boy, some of those words during the candle lighting this morning sure spoke, didn't they? Having peace with one another, having peace with God, seeking peace. You and I are to be people who make peace, who ensure peace as best we can for all people. But as best peace that we're talking about this morning is best shown when people find it with the Lord, when they have peace with God. As we observe this second Sunday in Advent, we do turn our attention to the word peace. I like to define terms when we talk about them so that we're all on the same page. I think that helps us to know what we're talking about, and so we all understand it. The Holman Illustrated Bible Dictionary defines peace as a condition our sense of harmony, well-being, and prosperity. The biblical concept means more than the absence of hostility, and it is more than a psychological state. I've attempted to define biblical peace, and this is what I've come up with over the short time I've been in ministry and reading the Bible. This is what I came up with. Peace is the internal assurance from the Holy Spirit and the Bible that we have been reconciled to God. Let me say that again. Peace is the internal assurance from the Holy Spirit and the Bible that we have been reconciled to God. We've been made right with God. We are in right relationship with our Heavenly Father. The Word tells us about peace, and the Spirit confirms that we have that peace if we have asked Christ into our hearts. We've asked God to forgive us of our sins. Because when we do that, His peace is placed inside of us. And there is that peace. There's no more warring with God. There is no more, oh my, I'm not with Him. I'm against Him. My life is against Him. What I do is against Him. No, there is a peace. The reconciliation has occurred. Today, I want us to look at the peace of God. What and how does one get it? If you are able, I'm going to ask that you stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Just one verse today, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. In fact, let's just read it out loud together. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to be seated this morning. Justification by faith. The first part of this verse, we're going to break this down a little bit here. What does it mean to be justified? Defining terms helps us. And I always say two good tools you can grab. Just if you don't have one, get one. You probably have a dictionary. If you don't have a dictionary in your house, you do have Google. But two things to have when you read your Bible: a good Strong's Concordance. If you already have one, great. If you don't, might want to look into that. You might be able to find one online for free, even. I don't know. But those are two, and a dictionary and a Strong's Concordance. Those are good, handy helps to read along with your Bible to help you define some terms when you. What does justified mean? What does the word justified mean? Now, our trusty Holman Illustrated Bible Dictionary defines justification this way: divine forensic act of God based on the work of Christ upon the cross, whereby a sinner is pronounced righteous by the imputation of the righteousness of Christ. Oh my goodness. Boy, that really helped, didn't it? When you impute something on someone, you are taking that and you are placing it upon them. This peace, divine, obviously a supernatural divine act of God, based on the work of Christ on the cross. We're unable to obtain this peace because it's not something we can gain on our own. We're unable to do it on our own. But through Christ's death on the cross, it is made available to you and me. It is made available, the peace of God. And so it's based on the work of Christ on the cross, whereby a sinner is pronounced righteous. What in the world? How can we be righteous if we're a sinner? If we have accepted the forgiveness of God, if we have asked for it, we have accepted it, we have allowed God to be in charge of our life, then that's what's happened. We are pronounced righteous. God pronounces us righteous. Now, is that our righteousness? No, it's the righteousness of Christ. Remember, this is through Christ's death on the cross. So it's His righteousness that we are declared. It's through His righteousness, by His righteousness, that you and I are declared righteous. Wow. The imputation that says, by the imputation of the righteousness of Christ. It's the righteousness of Christ. It's been laid upon you. When you accept Jesus in your heart, you are declared righteous by God. Wow. Brother Craig, sometimes I don't feel righteous. I hear you. I'm with you there. Sometimes I don't feel righteous either. Paul calls us saints. Oh, I don't feel like a saint. Yeah, I don't either sometimes. But that's what we are. And we need to live out what we are. You and I need to live out the relationship that we have with God. We need to live it out. As Uncle Billy in the play, It's a Wonderful Life says, justification is the supernatural act of God where a sinner is declared as righteous through having the righteousness of Jesus placed upon him. I think that may be a little clearer. God has taken the righteousness of Jesus and placed it on us. We can't be righteous, but Jesus is. And God takes that righteousness and He places it on all of His children. All who have accepted Christ as their Savior and Lord, they are declared righteous. God looks at you as righteous. He has declared you righteous through this act on the cross. You know, as I said before, we can't make ourselves righteous before God. We can't do that. There's no way. We don't have the power to be righteous. God knew this, and He's allowed the righteousness of Christ to be placed upon us when we place our faith in Him. But did you notice? Did you notice the righteousness of Christ is not placed upon us until we accept Jesus into our hearts? Universalists. You know, there's universalism out there, and there's a universalist churches out there that say, well, everybody will be saved. Yeah, everybody's going to heaven. No, not everybody's going to heaven. Because you have to accept the gift of salvation that God offers to you. You and I must accept it. It's offered to us, but we must accept it into our hearts. We must believe it and accept it into our hearts. And when we do that, we are declared righteous. It is as if God has a coat of righteousness for every person, every man, woman, and child, but He will not just give it to us. He's not just going to give it to us. Here it is. I imagine He has a closet. A great heavenly closet there. Now, He probably doesn't. That's me imagining a big heavenly closet full of coats of righteousness, all sizes. He's got the names on them of everybody here, and He's ready to put one on you. He wants to give you a coat of righteousness, but He will not do that until you trust and believe in Him and give your life to Him. It's not going to happen. You're not going to get a coat of righteousness until you give your life to Him. And that's a decision that you have to make. That's between you and the Lord. And the Holy Spirit, His Holy Spirit, calls out to you all the time. He's calling on you, calling out to you. And He's calling you to come to God. He's calling you to come to God. And you're hearing it sometimes. If you've not accepted Christ and you're here this morning, you're hearing that. You're hearing it. You may be hearing it this morning. You may be hearing it in the songs that you heard this morning. A calling from the Holy Spirit upon your heart. And you have to respond. You are given the opportunity to respond to that. He's ready, though, to give us that coat of righteousness, but we have to trust in Him. In the same letter, Paul shares in chapter 3 of Romans, verse 28, "For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law." In other words, you can't just be good enough and follow the law good enough and well enough, and God says, "Oh boy, you just did it. Come on in." No, 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 no. "For we maintain that a man is justified by faith." You've got to trust in Him. You've got to step out and believe that what the Bible says is true. Trusting. Trust God's Word. Trust in the Lord. Remember, the law helps us to know what God expects of us. The law shows us our sins. The law is important in that respect. It is so important. But after it points out our sins, we are drifting along with no hope until we encounter Jesus. You and I can follow the law, and the law points out our sin. Okay, so when we fly past that sign at 65 and oh my goodness, we've sinned. We get a ticket. Oh my, we broke the law. So the law is good, because it does help us, and the law does protect us in many ways. But the law shows us our sins. The law of God shows us our sins. There's a change that occurs when we place our trust and our faith in Jesus. When we trust in the act on the cross that Jesus did, when He died on that cross, when we trust in that He did it for us, that He did it and He took our sins upon Him, when we trust in that, it makes us acceptable in the eyes of God. God says, "I see you. I love you. I love you." He loves us before we accept Him, but it makes us acceptable in the eyes of God. We can approach Him. There's a change in God's relationship to a person when they ask to be forgiven and allow Him to be in charge of their lives. No longer is His wrath held against them. No longer are their sins held against them. Look, you accept Christ into your heart. You ask God to forgive you of your sins, and you're walking with Him. Your sins have been forgiven. If you sin again, then God's not going to go, "Oh no, you bombed now. You sinned. I can't forgive you again." That's not how that works. Your sins are not held against you. In other words, you're going to heaven. If you've accepted Christ into your heart, you're going to heaven. If you've done that and you're walking with Him, if you sin, yes, God will forgive you. But it's not going to be held against you in a way that you miss. That's not how that works. Once you're in the family of God, that's where you are. Once you're in the family of God, there you are. And you're not going anywhere. And Jesus Himself says, "No one will snatch them out of my hand." No one. No, look, can I just be grammatically incorrect? Ain't no way you're going to miss heaven once you're in His family. And that's the way it is. That's what the Bible teaches us. Justification does not occur. You being declared righteous does not just occur until you seek God in repentance. Are you sorry for your sins? Does it bother you that you have sinned against a holy, just, and loving God? If so, then you're in a place that you just might be ready to ask Him to forgive you of your sins, to come into your heart, and to walk with Him and have Him in charge of your life. You may just be in that place right now. Ask Him to forgive you. Have you been declared righteous by God? Have you been declared righteous by Him? The second thing we see, the peace of God. Look at the second part of verse 1. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice if you simply grab and rip this part of verse out of Scripture, if you just use this part, now that bothers me it bothers me so much when somebody will just grab a little portion of Scripture and say, "See, the Bible says this." Well, did you look at the context? What's the context? All the verses around it. What is it saying? You can't just rip this part. Look, if I just ripped this part out and said, "Hey, posted it on a poster, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Okay, well, we have peace with God through. Okay, we got peace with God. Jesus died on the cross. Yeah, we just have peace. We have it.
We have it. We don't have to do anything. I mean, we just have it. Everybody has it. No, you can't rip that out and just say that everybody has peace, no matter what they've done or what they haven't done. Truly, this peace is available to everyone in the world, no matter who they are or what they've done. But there is a move, a decision on their part that has to take place. I mean, just look, Jesus died for everybody. Well, yeah, I believe that. Does that mean everybody's going to heaven? No, that doesn't mean that. That doesn't mean that. It means you have to accept the fact that He did die on the cross for you, that your sins were placed upon Him. And when He died, the punishment that you and I deserve is taken care of. It's taken care of. You don't have to be punished for your sins eternally in a place called hell. You don't have to go there because God made it possible for us to be forgiven. Truly, He has. God has allowed us to choose to accept or reject His grace, His salvation. First, let us look at what peace is. To have peace with God means to be in a relationship with God that with all the hostility caused by sin being removed. This peace that God gives us is the knowledge and realization that we've been justified or made right with God. Jesus is referred to as the Prince of Peace. At the angel's announcement of Jesus' birth, we hear them say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." Truly, this is the Messiah's peace that He brings to all who will trust in Him. He has come to earth, the peace of God, in human form, on earth. It's available. Have you ever done something sinful and you felt guilty about it? There's a disturbance in the force. There's a disturbance in the peace between you and God when that happens. There's a disturbance. Have you ever sinned? How many of you sinned ever in your life? How many of you sinned last week? Oh, every hand went down. Now, look. When we sin against God, there is an uneasy feeling. And it should be there because the Holy Spirit says, whoa, told you not to do it. You did it anyway. What did you do? What were you doing? And there's a disturbance there. There's not an easy feeling between you and the Lord. That needs to be there, but it's not there because you have sinned or I have sinned. Until we deal with it, if we're a Christian, the Holy Spirit will remind you, won't He? You will think about it. Oh, man. You know, He doesn't do that to annoy you or to make you feel bad. He does it because He wants you in the right relationship that you need to be in with God. That's why He does it. That's why He points it out to you. Look, God loves you. And through His Holy Spirit, He wants you to walk with Him and be in right relationship with Him. He doesn't want you sinning. He's not telling you, you sinned, to make you feel bad. He's telling you because you need to get it out there and say, God, I've sinned. I admit it. I agree with you. What you call sin, I call sin, and I did it. I'm sorry. And God says, I hear you. I forgive you. He wants you in good relationship with the Lord. To have that good relationship, you need to agree to confess that sin with the Lord. When we acknowledge our sin, when we do that, we can turn away from it. You know, it's best when we speak about things like that. Oh, I don't want to talk about my sin, preacher. Oh, well, you know what? You need to. Well, I don't have to talk about it to other people. Well, no, maybe not. Now, the Bible says confess your sins one to another. Find you somebody you love and trust. Find somebody you can talk to. Bring it up. Confess it. Talk to the Lord about it. Ask Him to forgive you. He will. But we can't not deal with our sin because it messes up the relationship we have with the Lord. We can turn from our sin when we acknowledge that we are sinners. We can turn from it. We can talk about it and say, okay, I don't want to do that anymore. When the relationship you have with God is good, you're living in His peace. You're in His peace. This peace is the most important gift we can have in our lives. I mean that. The peace between you and God, that's the most important gift we could ever have in our lives. According to Dale Moody in the Broadman Commentary, soul peace, S-O-U-L, soul peace and social peace depend on this spiritual harmony with God. One of the Greek professors, Robert Mount, said, peace is also the joyful experience of those who live in harmony with God, other people, and themselves. Well, how do you get this peace with God? It says so right there. It's through Jesus. A number of people think, well, we can get it through good deeds. We go to church all the time. And when we go to church all the time, God will say, oh, you didn't. You win enough. I'll let you into heaven. No, that's not how it works. It's not through being nice to people, taking care of the poor, taking care of the widows. That's not how we get to heaven. It is by faith. It is by believing in Christ. There's nothing we can do to have this peace other than to trust in God. Notice this peace comes through the Lord Jesus. Doesn't come any other way but through Christ. Only through Christ. Only through Jesus can we have the peace of knowing God and knowing that we have an eternal home with Him in heaven for all eternity. So, have you been declared righteous by God? Do you have peace with God? Do you have this peace with God? Do you know? Look, people are dying right and left in our world. Do you know where you're going? Do you know? Have you made that decision to follow Jesus? This is the most important decision you will ever make. The most important gift you'll ever receive is that peace between you and the Lord. What will you do? Have you accepted Him into your heart?
And that, of course, is the question. Have you accepted Him into your heart? I want to thank you for listening to Words of Encouragement, and I really want you, if you have not accepted Christ, I want you to think about it. I want you to consider it. I want you to look into what that means to have a relationship with God. He loves you. He knows who you are. You matter to Him. You have purpose in this world. Will you look into that today? Will you just simply do some research on who God is? Of course, I would just advise you to open up the Bible to the Gospel of John. You can Google the Gospel of John online. If you have a Bible, open it up. Read it. Read the Gospel of John. It's a very good place to start learning about God and who Jesus is and what He has done for you. Again, thank you for listening to Words of Encouragement. I hope that you will get in touch with us. You can do that by going to fbcwinsboro.com. That's fbcwinsboro.com. You'll find many of your questions about our church, First Baptist Church of Winsboro. And if you don't have the answers you need, you can always contact us through that website. We'd be more than happy to communicate with you. And of course, you have a standing invitation to visit with us every Sunday morning, 9:45 for Bible study for all ages, and then 10:55, our time of worship. So if you're ever in Winsboro, Louisiana, come see us. Come see us. Once again, thank you for listening to Words of Encouragement. truly, there's no better day than today to accept Jesus into your heart. I hope that you have the hope of Christ, the hope of a better tomorrow, the hope of having a place to go to when you leave this earth. You know, we're all leaving. We're all going to die. And that's some sobering news. It's not something we want to think about, but it's true. It's true. I hope you're ready. I hope you've made preparation. I hope you've asked Christ to forgive you, or God to forgive you of your sins, and for Jesus to come into your heart and to be in charge of your life. Would you give your life to Him? Would you repent of your sin? That means turn away from your sin and follow Jesus. That's all God asks us to do. It sounds simple, and at some points it is simple. It's simple, but it carries with it some difficulty. But look, with the help of God, you can do it. You can give your life over to Him. Would you do that? Remember, you can always tune in to KMAR if you're in the area, the local area of Winnsboro, Louisiana. Every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, you can hear the broadcast of the First Baptist Church of Winnsboro. You can also just continue listening to Words of Encouragement right here, and you'll catch every sermon that is preached from the pulpit right there at the First Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us for this time together on this podcast. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can always email us at fbcwboro.com or at gmail.com. That's fbcwboro@gmail.com. And we'd love to hear from you. Of course, you can always go to fbcwinsboro.com and you can find answers to most of your questions. Thank you for joining us for Words of Encouragement.